Do you guys remember those awkward days when, okay, this is going to be an introvert talking right here. Do you remember when they used to do the turn and greet thing? And you had to turn and say hi. But we can't shake hands. That's not socially distanced and all those things now. So we can't really do that. So that was always scary. I don't know why. You guys all look so nice. But it was that awkward moment of meeting someone that you don't know and I'm going to forget your name. And it was terrible. So, well, welcome to week two. You guys have now made it through a chunk, and we still got so much to go in Psalm 119. I've been, you know, studying and prepping for this study for months, and then, you know, honestly, my thing for Psalm 119 kind of began about 12 years ago, and I just, every week, there is just so much in this stuff, and I am just loving the things that I think the Lord shows us each time. So today, I want to look at and highlight a little bit about our choices and choosing. And we did read a passage, there's a couple of them in 119 that specifically talk about the things that we choose. But you think about your choices and you think that, if you're 15, you're like, well, I had no choice. And we use that as an excuse a lot of times. But we kind of have choices about everything. You get to choose what you're going to wear. I mean, goodness, you go into Starbucks and your choices for what is going to be in that latte is a mile long. We have choices about everything. And then you're like, well, but what about your family? Nope. We don't get to choose our families. But you do get to choose, like, how you're going to relate to your families, how you're going to engage with them, your perspective with your family. You get to have choice about all of those things. And we have good choices, we have bad choices, but we have a lot of choices and we need to probably yield not into the I had no choice camp. In the section that we covered today in Psalm 119 verse 30, we saw the verse that says, I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. Choosing the way of faithfulness. Boy, that's going to be a theme that we're going to see over and over, right? Choosing that steadfastness of the Lord. It's not my faithfulness. It's the steadfastness of the Lord. And we just keep seeing that over and over. But we get to choose what we're going to do. Psalm 119:73, it says it this way. It says, let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. And remember back in our intro when we talked about the precepts, that's that parameters word, you know, kind of the borders. I like that. I like knowing where the lines are. And so that's what I look at with this. And that's your choices, right? You can choose which side of that line you're gonna cross. So as we look at the choices and the good and the bad, there's so many things that each choice kind of determines what our character is, especially as we make those little ones just little bits at a time that we think that maybe aren't so big a deal. But I like this quote. Old Greek philosopher said, the content of your character is your choice. Day by day, what you choose, what you think, and what you do is who you become. And I think that's very true. There's a lot of choices in there that the things that you may decide to do one day, especially when it comes to your character, kind of determine what that's going to be. But think about some big choices. Like I think about when I chose which college I was going to go to. I went to high school in Colorado. I grew up in Wyoming. And I chose a college in Oregon, much to my parents' chagrin. But that was a life-altering choice, you know? You make that choice, and all of a sudden, I'm meeting some guy that's lived in Tualatin, Oregon, his whole life, and, you know, I'm still here, guys. But we have good choices to make, and I want to look at the things in Scripture that talk about our good choices. We're going to contrast these a little bit, but one of the first good choices I want to look, and you don't have to flip here. I'm going to read it because I just love the way it's saying, because so many things that that I'm loving about Psalm 119, just like last week that where it was talking about our wholeheartedness, there's no ambiguity in these terms. I mean, it is like you are all in it, which I love that. But it's the same thing with our choices. And I think of the choice that Ruth made. Remember when Ruth, that story, how she lost kind of everything. And Naomi, her mother-in-law, had lost everything. But I want to read how she makes her choice, because just hear the resoluteness that she has. And it's, if you do turn there, it's Ruth 1, verse 16. And it says, Ruth, in response to Naomi, said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more so anything, but death parts me from you." That's a pretty hardcore choice she made right there. There's no ambiguity, but she made a good choice in what she did. And but I love that there's no turning back. Like, is that what I should have done? You don't hear any question in Ruth's voice there. She's going from leaving her people to making this choice. Another one that we see is in Joshua. And everybody loves this one, right? Joshua 24:15 says, "Choose this day who you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Big choice. Once again, you know, Joshua, he is like exhorting the people, please don't follow the idols. Serve the Lord, but make a choice. Sadly, we know, we watch as the Old Testament would play out, and they would choose their idols. And don't hear idolatry and check out and go, well, thank goodness that we don't do any idol worship now, because idol worship in 2020 is alive and well. It's largely around this. This becomes our idol, but it's a thing. So let Joshua's word speak right to you also. Don't choose that. Choose to serve the Lord. But there's a good choice to be made. But that's the kind of the lofty one, right? That's the one that's hung on your wall in this really cool Etsy little, sign, or you've got it on a pillow. But let's bring it down to a little bit practical. And if you do have your Bibles, turn to Luke 10, because this is where it gets really practical about what our choices are going to be. And this is the story, as you're flipping there, of Jesus coming into the village and meeting Mary and Martha. And we get to look at these two women and the choices that they make. And it's starting in Luke 10, verse 38. It says, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to then help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her.'" So we have these two ladies that we probably can identify. Okay, for me, I can probably identify with that Martha side. You get distracted. You get busy. My family, we've even been talking about this, because maybe I'm the only mama that gets just a little crazy town right before a holiday, or right when there is, a bunch of people going to come over. For some reason, that is the only time that you feel like that one window should be clean, or, it's all just got to be exactly right. And I feel like Jesus is saying this to me, "Amy, Amy, you are troubled about a great many things." But we do that. We choose that busyness with good goals. We're trying to care for our families, make sure everything's just right. But I think it's notable what Jesus says to both of these women, that Mary has actually chosen the good portion. There's no hurry to Mary. She's just sitting. I think it's a good challenge, but definitely one of those practical ways that we are going to choose how we want to do, even in our home. Another choice, and I'm going to call these the blessed choices. And I'm going to be real, guys. I deleted this heading, and then I put it back on there about 6 times. But I couldn't get away from it, because I actually really do think these are blessed choices. So the two I'm talking about here, because these are choices, and it's in other places in Scripture, but 1 Corinthians 11:13, you can look if you want, but I'll read this one to you, and I'm going to have you turn to the Ephesians one here in a second. But the 1 Corinthians 11:3 says, "But I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God." We have this really cool order that Scripture lays out for us. And so some of you are sitting there squirming in your chairs going, "I really am not seeing this as a blessed choice." It is a blessed choice. There's this beautiful order that the Lord's given us. Ephesians 5, if you do have your Bible flip there, I like to have us see where some of these things are on the page a little bit. But in 5:22, it's a very similar passage, but I just love how this is spelled out. And this is one of those get-to passages. But in 5:22 in Ephesians, it says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands." And then it goes on from there about what the husband's role is in that too. And sadly, our world kind of reads that as such a like, what? How is that a blessed choice? Well, it's without a doubt, it's a choice for sure, right? Because lots of people don't choose that. But the order, and the reason I read both of those is because I love order, and I think God is into order. And when we have this cool order that the Lord has set out, and you know, you've got the husband, you've got the wife, you've got your kiddos, what happens in a house when the kids come up here? And it's everything is about what that kiddo is doing, whether it's their schedule, whatever it is, but you've taken it out of order a little bit. It doesn't click. It doesn't feel real good. There's dissonance in there. But their order works. But yet often we can choose to look at this and go, I'm not really into that. But I think it's largely because just culturally we've allowed the influence of the world to tell us what submission looks like. And that's not what the word is talking about at all. I love how our pastor talks about it when he says that, you know, submission is a get to, in that we could go outside and we could get pelted by the rain and the wind and be freezing cold, or we can come in here where it's cozy and be submitted under the covering of this building. But the world and the culture is like, oh, that's way too simplistic and that's demeaning to women. There's nothing in here about that. This is not saying that we aren't intelligent or we aren't gifted. It's not saying any of those things. That's putting stuff into the text that they want you to see, but it's just not there. So it really is, it's first of all a choice, and I really do believe it is a get to. I've been here at Athey for over 20 years, and I often hear, you know, when Pastor Brett's up here and he'll say, you know, I'm going to get angry emails and all this stuff. But I'm telling you, you can all ask my husband. I get so jazzed about those sermons because it's just true. It's just right. It's just how the Lord had it to be. And it's a good thing. It's sad that we culturally kind of fight against that. So now I want to look at a couple necessary choices, because since we're on the fun topic of submission, which I actually do kind of think it's fun. But there's other things that we choose to submit to that Scripture says. There's some other things that you want to choose to have that submit role that you want to choose. And one of them is church leadership. You see that in a couple different places. I picked this one in 1 Timothy 5:17. It says, "Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching." And then also, we'll also see in Romans that we are to be submitted to government authorities. So I'm labeling those as kind of like the necessary choices, because we see them as optional often, right? But that's actually something that the Lord put there for us to choose to be submitted to in a good way, in a way that is covering to you. There's not to mean that there's things that our government's going to always do that is going to just thrill us. Probably not. But we're to pray for our leaders, and we're still to be submitted to those authorities. We just have issues in our culture with authority, don't we? We just don't want to choose that. But there's things that we need to take God's word at God's word, and when it says that that's something that we should be choosing, we can't just walk away from that. So I want to look at next the bad choices. And the thing about the scripture we're going to read, and again, if you've got your Bible, flip to it. It's Jeremiah 6:16. We'll start on that one. But what's interesting me about this one is it's quite a picture. And this is Jeremiah. He's going to talk to Israel, warning them to choose to walk away from, or, you know, not be into the idols of the people of the land. Walk away from that. Otherwise, you're going to be destroyed. So he really outlines these choices pretty clearly. And in Jeremiah 6, we'll start in verse 16. It says, "Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look, and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it, and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. I set watchmen over you, saying, pay attention to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not pay attention. Therefore, hear, O nations, and know, O congregation, what will happen to them. Hear, O earth, and behold, I am bringing disaster upon this people, the fruit of their devices, because they have not paid attention to my words, and as for my law, they have rejected it." Now, I know this passage is speaking to Israel and warning them they would actually do exactly what Jeremiah said right here. They would reject the ancient paths, the things that they knew from the law. They would reject that. They would walk away from that. Very deliberately, I might add. Again, do you see, like, there's no, like, tiptoe, maybe we'll just sort of pay lip service to this? Nope, they're just flat out rejecting what God's law had said. So, and it doesn't end well for them. So I understand that is for Israel, and that's what it's talking about, but that same warning, I think, exists for us when we make choices that are not according to God's word. We're getting to study Psalm 119 that talks over and over about the delight and the blessing of his precepts and his statutes and his commandments. And those things are true. And so we know that there is good and there is beauty in that. But we can choose, just like Israel did. We're no better than they are. And we can make that choice and say, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to walk away from that. I couldn't skip past this week's study, and I don't know if you're supposed to have favorites when you're going through something, but this particular section here in week two is probably going to be a little bit of a favorite of mine. And so I had to camp out just a little bit about the choices and the progression of choice that happens starting in verse 25. So you can look in your book, study guide, you can look in your little booklet, whichever you want, but I want to highlight a few things that happen in these first several verses that we studied this week. In verse 25, it says, "My soul clings to the dust," is how that starts. Okay, clinging, is that's a tight word, guys. That's just grasping it for all you have. And it's interesting to me what it is the psalmist is saying that you're grasping. You're grasping the dust, the dirt. It makes me think of when you go and you plant stuff. I'm not a great gardener. Actually, I will say I don't mind planting things. I think that part's awesome. I am a really terrible waterer. If you could just plant it and get some kind of self-watering thing, that would be awesome. But you know, when you plant whatever it is you're planting, you get your hands all dirty, and the dirt just kind of clings to you, doesn't it? And you can brush your hands off, but it's still there. You can still just see these remnants of dirt. And then the progression of this, then go to verse 28. It says, "My soul melts away for sorrow." So those two pieces right there, they just really take me back to seasons that I have gone through of just dark depression, where the dirt is just sticking to you, you know? You're brushing it off. You're going, yep, no, I'm good. I'm going to keep walking on. And it's just still there. That's the clinging part, the clinging to the dirt part. But then I love, here we see this, he's recognizing the soul is melting away with sorrow. And it reminds me very vividly of some of those seasons. But then I also am reminded this next part in verse 28 when he says, "Strengthen me according to your word." Perhaps it was because of my own experience. I'm not trying to interject this into it, but I almost feel like that's like not even a real strong request right there. Like it's sort of like grasping. Strengthen me, Lord. And I felt that in that season. I felt like it was a feeble cry, but still doing it. But then you got to go down to verse 30. And this is where we see some of this progression. Verse 30, the beginning of it says, I have chosen the way of faithfulness. That's the first verse we started on with this. Critical change here. Because now it's not just like sending up like, oh Lord, please strengthen me. A choice was made right here. Choosing the way of faithfulness. Choosing, and it's a critical change. And what this reminds me of is, I didn't read it, but if you go back into Ephesians, that verse we're talking about, it talks about later that the husband will wash the wife in the water of the word. And often the word is described as the water. So remember the dirt all over my hands. Well, if you go and put it under water, it all comes off. It all comes out of your fingernails. It's all out. And that morning that I was really struggling, this is the verse that was my water. Psalm 42:5 says, why are you cast down on my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. And I would say that verse over and over and over and over. Now, I'm not trying to give you some like pat, like just say this 10 times and you're good. But there is a cleansing effect to the word. But to get to that piece, to allow the word to do its work, you have to choose it. You have to go back to verse 30 and you have to actually make the choice to put this in your head, not whatever lies Satan is giving you. But I love that progression that we see at that beginning part. Probably because I identify with that so much, but I think it is a really powerful progression that we see. But it's about what we choose. So what will we choose? I hope, my prayer, is that we choose God's word, but we choose all of it. You know, whether it's like, it's the inspiring words of Joshua telling you to choose this day who you will serve, telling you to not choose the idols, don't choose the idol of self, but choose to serve the Lord. That's a choice that we can make. Or maybe the choices that we'll make are the encouraging ones of maybe this Thanksgiving being just a smidge more Mary and a little less Martha. You guys can ask me how I did. Actually, ask Chris how I did on that one. We'll see. Or maybe like the choices we're gonna make as far as like the blessed and the necessary ones. Those are there too. Those are still in God's word. And here's the funny thing about choice is we get to all of this. He's in all of it. And we can't choose that, oh, we love Psalm 119 because all these amazing things it says about the word of God, and we love this piece about it cleansing us, but we don't really want to choose those pieces that make us kind of have to acknowledge authority. That's kind of uncomfortable. We'd rather not do that. But we want to choose all of it. We don't want to choose the dirt either. Maybe there's that picture too. But don't put yourself in the camp of like, I have no choice, because we have a choice. And scripture tells us over and over and over what those choices should be. It's kind of written all out there for us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word that just beautifully maps out for us what your plan is for us. It tells us the whole story of who you are and the redemptive work that you did for us, that you chose us. Even when we were still sinners and we were not deserving of anything good, but you still chose us, you still loved us. Lord, I pray that we would just be stirred in our hearts to choose all of your word. I pray we would not put the idol of self and put our own intellect above your word and say, we'll choose this piece and we'll choose this piece. But Lord, may we just be submitted to all of it. And then, Lord, I'm so thankful for the way that it does cleanse us and it does set our path straight. It does delight us. So Lord, thank you for your word, and I pray, Lord, that we would take our choices, that we would take the ones that are on your path and according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.